Another group that is doing great work as part of the relief effort in Haiti is based right here in Louisville. It's Edge Outreach, and Mark Hogg is the executive director of that group, and he joins me now here on 84 WHAS. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, buddy. How are you doing? It's an honor to be with you guys today.
Well, thank you very much for this, and thank you for the work that your team is doing. Tell my audience what your team is doing there.
Well, it's definitely a community event. So many people in the community have been in support, and there's so many great nonprofits and NGOs as a part of. We just feel like we're trying to play our role. We've got about 10 guys on the ground right now, and they are working in water systems and water stations. We have been working with the UN Water Cluster Group. They are based out of Port-au-Prince. We're a member of many water organizations from around the world trying to come up with a strategy and to find our place and our part, how to provide pure potable water to the people that have been devastated by this tragedy.
Did they have any reliable water distribution system before the earthquake in Haiti?
Well, if you know much about, you know, kind of third world situations, that's a spotty answer. There is some water treatment there. However, in warmer environments, often piping is laid across the ground. A PVC pipe is easily damaged. And a lot of the aquifers throughout Haiti are contaminated because Haiti uses a series of shallow wells. And each time it rains, often those wells become contaminated with garbage and debris on the surface of the ground. That debris washes into the shallow wells and then has a tendency, that contamination, to seep into deeper aquifers. So there's been a relatively serious issue with water in Haiti due to that reason as well.
Okay, so when you walk into a situation like that and you go there and your team went there specifically to try to get the very most important element of life, water, to the people who need it all over that country, how do you help out in a situation where the system was broken even before the natural disaster?
Right. That's a great question. What we've basically tried to do is blend some of the experiences that we've had over the last 10 or 11 years with water with some of the technologies that we have at our disposal and imagine how to use them in a disaster situation. We were able to be a part of the Costa Rican earthquake disaster last January that actually gave us a little bit of an idea of how to work in a situation like this. And what our goal has been is to be able to provide filtration and purification units that are portable, that are fast-acting and easy to learn, and then to network with the NGOs and the nonprofits that are down there, Haitian leadership, and see if we can't provide in certain areas help for the people. Now, our main work so far has been with Salvation Army stations that are down there, and they're, of course, we all know they're doing a fantastic job, and we've been able to do some work at in the midst of their feeding stations, also their clinics. And then we've also been working with Cure Hospital to provide them water for their ER unit as well.
Yeah, I would think that one of the first priorities would be get water to the sick people, and also important, to the people who are helping the sick people, because the Americans and others from all around the world who've gone there to be part of the relief efforts, they can't carry water with them. Water's heavy. So you got to deal with the water that's there, right?
Yes, sir. There's no doubt. And so we're working with the water available. The technology that we have actually uses through a process, through electrolysis, water available, salt, and a car battery or a solar panel, and we're able to manufacture pure water through filtration and purification.
Mark, tell me what the people of your team who are there have told you they've seen.
It's bad. It's real bad. and it's going to take us years to rebuild. My hope is that we don't appreciate so much you comparing this to some of these great disasters that our world has seen. This is, I agree with you. I think we're going to see this flesh out of the Haiti experience. Our team is affirming that.
You have 10 members there. Where are they staying? I'm curious about it from the relief workers' vantage point. I know we're thinking about all the people who were really affected by this quake, but you know your 10 person crew went there. Where do they stay? What do they eat? I mean, what's life like for them?
Great question. The benefit for us is we've actually been working in Haiti for several years and have developed some unique relationships with some organizations down there. There's a group called Blue Ridge. We have a unique hand pump repair program, and Blue Ridge is a warehouse that houses hand pumps. They have been kind enough to allow our team to stay at the base out of that warehouse facility. We were actually staying, we had a man on the ground. We have some missionaries that live in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, and we were able to be actually en route and on the ground in Haiti in about 48 hours. And the Salvation Army is also a good friend, and they've housed our team a little bit as well.
All right, now I'm curious about the other part of this. I mean,
okay.
They've got a place to stay, but are there any services there? I mean, can they say, you know what, I forgot toothpaste. Let me run to the store and I'll get toothpaste. is there such a thing as a store to run to?
Not that I'm understanding right now. We are totally self-contained, and these are a group of men that are ready for this moment. They were self-contained. We took MREs with them. I think they found a few eggs Friday night and grilled them up some eggs somehow, which is a good treat for them. But we're self-contained and at the same time selfless. Yesterday, they found some orphans from an orphanage that were grouped together with their leaders. Their orphanage was completely demolished, and we were able to give them some tents for a few of their orphans that didn't have coverage at night. So it is literally just to get by as you can.
Right. I've got to go back to something you said. I wrote it down when you said it, and I have to ask you about it. You said we're creating water. Are you creating water, or are you taking existing water that's dirty, disgusting,
yeah,
and needs purification and cleaning it up enough for it to be drinkable?
Well, thanks for checking me on that. I'm talking fast and using some words I shouldn't be.
Oh, that's okay.
You're right. We are not creating water. We are simply using the water available and passing it through a filtration and purification system,
mm-hmm,
that allows it to be used for drinking. And one of the unique things about the system that we use, which was invented by a good friend, Devon McGuire, who many of us know up in Indiana with New Life International, but this system also has two byproducts that one of them is absolutely vital in this situation, and that's a very strong chlorine solution. And we got word yesterday that one of the clinics, the hospitals that we've been able to supply water for, they're actually using that chlorine solution. It's strong enough to sterilize medical equipment with.
Well, that's fantastic. How long do you expect your crew to be there, Mark?
Well, we're hoping that we can try to evaluate disaster response and how long that goes. We're trying to imagine, you know, 6 to 8-ish weeks. Again, our strategy with the UN is continually unfolding each day, and we think we've got a better and better plan. So we'll evaluate how long the disaster push is, and then when we just become more of a sustainable presence in an area to keep providing the care and empowering the people to take care of their own water after that.
Mark, what can our WHAS listeners do to help you help the people of Haiti?
Well, I tell you, we have seen a miracle unfold here. It's been wonderful, the outpouring of support. The monies have been pouring in and extremely helpful. As a matter of fact, there's some hand pump issues we came across this this weekend, and we're actually having some tools manufactured for our team that leaves later this week. The community is helping out in a lot of ways. So we do need funds. We do need prayer. And we just need to be together and not to forget that the people of Haiti are going to be suffering for a long time. And there's a lot of great nonprofits in our community, the Red Cross, Go Ministries, a lot of churches are ramping up. There's a lot of great nonprofit groups binding together like never before. And we're trying to do our part. We're trying to do our job. And we just want the community to remember that we are seeing ourselves, from our perspective, united like we've never been before.
Terrific. The website for Mark's group, Edge Outreach, is very simple, edgeoutreach.com. You can go there and find out more information about their mission and their training and what they're doing in Haiti and have done in other places as well. I appreciate the work that you're doing, and thanks so much for coming on and telling part of your story here today.
Well, we're thankful to be there. Be praying for our guys on the front lines. We'll be in there, like I said, for at least the next 2 to 3 months, I would assume, with folks working out, and we're so thankful. Part of Louisville and Southern Indiana.
Mark Hogg, the executive director of a terrific group called Edge Outreach. They call themselves your global water partner. And in Haiti now, there are a lot of partners contributing an enormous amount, but there is so much need there, particularly for water, but for so much else. So 10 guys from the Louisville area doing their part.